Father, as we study your word, I just ask that you would, Father, that you would open up your word to us and speak to us. Father, that we would learn from one another, that we would learn from what Paul has to share with us, Lord God, that we would receive these last few instructions, so important. And that you would bring greater depth and understanding to our hearts and our minds. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you for the depth of your word. I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for the authority of your word. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. On your precious and holy name. Amen. Romans 16, our last chapter in this amazing letter written to the people of Rome, written to the saints of Rome. What a profound and in-depth teaching we've been able to have from studying this for months and months and months and months. As Paul's heart was burdened for the people of Rome, burdened to reach out to them. He wanted to go see them. He wanted to meet with them. He'd heard of their faith, and it had been spoken of among all the saints where he traveled. Because in spite of the persecution, their faith was great. Yet he saw the dangers that were coming. He saw the dangers that were rising up in the church, and he was facing it. He was writing letters. He wrote to the Galatians. He wrote to the Ephesians. As Paul was pressing in to deliver the gospel message and to bring truth throughout all the region, he saw the dangers. And set about to write this letter to bring correction to the saints of Rome. We've talked about this. We've talked about the Judaizers. We've talked about the Antinomians. I think I said that right. We've talked about what they were doing and how they were trying to bring distortion and compromise in the church. The Judaizers are trying to bring them under the law, bring them into circumcision. The Antinomians are bringing forth, you know, once saved, those, the grace message. Compromise, compromise, compromise. When we face corruption to the purity of the doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ, when there is corruption that is coming forth, it has to be addressed. It has to be. And that's what we see in many of Paul's writings. Many of his writings to the Galatians, he was just on fire because he saw it was about to overturn that church. They were being so enraptured by this message from the Judaizers. The people of Rome were being deeply affected and divided by this. And his heart's cry is for the purity of the gospel message. The purity of the word of God. Nothing should deviate us from the purity of the word of God. We are not to add or remove from the purity of the word of God. We are to stand on the purity of the Word of God. Often the Lord may give us revelation and insight to help us understand the truth in His Word. But we cannot deviate from the foundation of our faith. If we do, the minute we take that step, we are headed down a path in the long run that will destroy our soul. And in the midst of chapter 16, Romans chapter 16, in the midst of encouraging them to welcome these faithful followers of the gospel, as he sends forth his greetings, he has these last instructions. And I love how Paul always, he delivers an instruction, and then he tells you how to do it. He tells you why to do it. He tells you the importance of it, the significance of it in the future of your walk with him, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knows what it means to be deceived. He knows what it means to be locked in your own head, to be locked in tradition. And he knows what it means to find the freedom that Christ Jesus brings. And his heart's cry, his mission, is to bring forth the freedom that Christ brings into a person's life. To take the chains off of the mind. To take the chains off of the body. And release us into relationship with our God. That is his cry. That is his passion. That is his drive to help the people go from walking in the flesh to walking in the spirit to walking into intimacy with the Lord. That is his cry. What is our cry? How do we keep from falling into deception? We learn the Word of God. We need to know it. If we have a question, we need to find out what the Word of God says and bring forth truth from the Word of God. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore in your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. It's a burden on Paul's heart, because he sees what deception brings. He sees the path he was on. He sees those he signed off on their death because they were serving Jesus. He knew, after he'd come to know Jesus, he knew what he had done was wrong, and he carried that with him all his life. He knew, his heart cried out, don't fall into deception. Don't allow division to come in your ranks. Anything contrary to the gospel, do not entertain it. It could cost you your soul. Your soul. Oh, the cry This isn't just about a cry for holiness, which is so important. It's a cry to understand the foundations of where we've come, why we're here. It's a cry to stand for truth. It's a cry to take a courage, a step of courage, and address things that are wrong, that we might bring forth the freedom of the truth. Into the darkness that's creeping in. The enemy hides in the shadows. He hides in the darkness. He starts rumors. He starts divisions. He starts false doctrine. And he hides in the shadows, waiting for someone who's discontent, that he might whisper in their ear and provoke. Provoke them to rise up. He waits. That's why we're supposed to be children of the light. Because when we are children of the light and we are allowing his light to come in us, when we have a mother and a father, we carry their DNA. We are to be children carrying the DNA of the Lord God Almighty with his light in every cell of our being, striving, fighting to have his light fill us up to completion, giving the enemy no room to whisper in our dark corners. Giving the enemy no room to whisper, to link on to that one piece of darkness that's within us. That's why inner healing is so important, because the enemy latches on to our wounds. He doesn't just latch onto those wounds. He bores into them and wreaks havoc on us through our wounds. It's why it's important. That's why the word says, don't go to bed angry. To forgive your brethren. It gives the enemy no room to root in us while we sleep. When we lay our head on our bed at night, what are we to do? We are to give him the day. We are to ask him to examine our heart. Is there any wicked way in us? And hand it over to him. Is there anything in us that has caused an offense in our hearts? Hand it to him. Don't let the enemy take root. Every day. Every day. Every day, hand over to him that which the enemy can take root in. Now, Paul tells them to mark them that cause divisions. To mark them. That means to regard attentively. Take heed. Beware. Take heed. Beware of those who cause division. What about those that lack proper understanding? What about those that are not, they're not really trying to create a division, but they don't understand the Word of God? They lack proper understanding in the Word of God. What do we do? Galatians 6, 1 through 6, teaches us how we're to handle, one. It says, brethren, If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man move his own work, prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now let me explain something here. Paul is telling them, if someone is overtaken in a fault, if someone has a misunderstanding, if someone that doesn't understand the scripture, if there's a doctrinal issue, if there's something that is causing them to go off the path of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is out of love that we step into their lives and try to bring correction. That is an act of love. We are afraid of confrontation. Paul is telling us to confront. He says how to do it in a spirit of meekness, remembering that we ourselves are sinners. We ourselves could stumble at any moment. So it needs to come forth out of a heart of humility. What did Jesus say? You know, don't be so concerned about the speck in your brother's eye when you got the log in your own. We have to remember we are not without sin ourselves. We are not without flaws ourselves. And the very person we bring correction to might turn around and bring correction to us the next day. But when we engage in an act of true love for our brethren, we come against the fear that we feel, the anxiety that we feel, they're going to reject me. They're not there to reject. They're not about to reject you. If they don't heed sound doctrinal correction, they're rejecting Christ. They're rejecting God, not you. And when one day they heed what you have brought to them, you might just save their soul from hell. In Matthew 18, Jesus tells us to confront our brother who's in sin. If he listens, you've won him over. If that doesn't work, you take two or three witnesses. If that doesn't work, you go to the church. Now, I want to remind you that this comes right after the parable of the lost sheep, where Jesus, he talks about the shepherd. He will go, he will leave the 99, and he will go down, and he will reach out to save that one who is lost. And when he is found, he will come back with a great celebration. That takes effort. It takes time. It takes determination to save one who is lost. And when you bring forth correction, you are not doing it because you're judging your brother. You're doing it because you love your brother. And you see the fault. And you see where they might go. Maybe you've been there yourself, or you witnessed someone fall away from God because of that little slip. We forget how slippery the slope is. The straight and narrow path is rough. It's hard. It's painful. But it protects our soul from eternal damnation. We must come to a place where we are not afraid, where love for our brother overcomes the fear of their rejection. Love overcomes. What may come between you? Your love for their soul. Their eternity. Why do you think Paul wrote so many letters that were so strong? Because his concern was for their eternity. Where will they spend eternity? So he pressed on because a fire in him drove him to do so. His care for their soul drove him. Because when Paul got a hold of the truth, it changed, it transformed him, and he allowed God to do a complete work in him. Always remembering, always keeping before him the importance of pressing on toward the goal. Don't grow slack in your efforts. He said, I press on toward the goal of the high calling. I press on. That's active. That's continuous. Every day, that's what he lived his life for. In everything he did, he sought, he strove to impart that wisdom into the lives of those around him. Paul was created to take the gospel to the Gentiles. He was created to speak into the lives of the Jews. He was created to bring people into the Holy of Holies where they would know their God on a personal level. And from the moment Jesus appeared to him, whether he was in prison or whether he was free, that's what he did. That's what he did. Second Thessalonians 3:15 says, not to regard one that we're correcting as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. That's an act of love. It's an act of love to speak into someone's life the truth that might save their soul from hell. James 5 says, if your brother wanders from the truth and you bring him back, you will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Scripture after scripture teaches us the importance of speaking into one another's lives. The importance of seeing, observing, and loving someone enough to speak into their lives. As we move forward, in this ministry, as we move forward in the kingdom work, as we move forward in our own refining process, Don't be afraid to speak into the lives of those around you. Don't be afraid to bring forth the truth. The most important thing to me is that this ministry fulfill what it's been created to fulfill. This ministry has been created to raise up an army of intercessors, an army of intercessors capable of bringing stability in the earth, blanketing the earth with intercession. Fighting off the enemy of our souls. Coming against the enemy who would steal our children. Dragging their souls into hell. Bringing forth the light of the Lord Jesus Christ across the nations. This ministry has been created to bring people into the river of God. Where they will immerse themselves in the life-changing presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will refine them and prepare them for their place in His kingdom. That's what this ministry has been created to do. That's the responsibility on this ministry. That's why we press in so hard. That's why we fight the way we fight. What will save us? Intimacy with our God. What will save the nations? Intimacy with our God. What will save the children? Intimacy with our God. Because when you have intimacy with God, it radiates from you. It transforms you and it radiates from you into the lives of those around you. What brings righteousness into a nation? Intimacy with God. What makes an intercessor a powerful, effective warrior? Intimacy with God. No matter what happens in the days ahead, we must press on toward the goal. We must not give up. I look at those that we've been praying for a long, long time, and I see perseverance developing in us. I look at the children we pray for, and I see perseverance developing in us. A fight for the future. We do not grow weary. We fight for the future. And in the process, it draws us into His presence, into intimacy with Him. People may look and say, hey, your prayers aren't being answered. Don't think I want to be associated with you. And I say, they are being answered. They are being answered. It is already done in the kingdom of God. We are praying it into the earthly realm. And that takes a strength, a fortitude, a determination to stand and then stand some more. Press on. Press on. Press on. Press on. Father God. God. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the word that you give us. I thank you for the refining work of your word. I thank you for the transformation of our inner man. I thank you. The day after day, you are developing in us children who can be used by you in whatever way you need us to be used. I thank you that you are revealing your power and your strength and your might in our lives. I thank you that you are teaching us from your word, that you are revealing the depth of your word and you are using it to transform lives and giving us the strength and the fortitude to carry on regardless of the obstacles, regardless of what comes around us. Lord God, you are giving us the strength to carry on. You are giving us a love for one another. You are giving us a bond with one another that we will stand shoulder to shoulder, bringing truth, bringing love, and bringing your will forth in the earth. I thank you, Lord. In your precious name. Amen.